Chapter 1. The Fighting 69. I heard the yelling before I looked outside. "Out of the living room," I shouted to my three sisters, Margaret, Maria, and Madeline. "Get Mom. Go to the basement. Take Christopher." "I want to watch," said Maria. "Go," I said. "Now." It was hard not to look. Outside the huge bay window, 36 protesters, men and women, were marching in front of our house in Queens, holding up signs demanding, "Don't ruin our neighborhood," and "No project, no way." This was the first time I had experienced protesters, an almost bizarre occurrence in the middle of this residential community. The protesters were from Forest Hills, a white, mostly Jewish neighborhood in Queens, with a low crime rate and top-ranked public schools, where New York City Mayor John Lindsay had recently broken ground for a vast low-income housing project, the Forest Hills Cooperative. Their urgent effort to stop construction had driven them to our quiet little block in Holliswood, a solidly middle-class pocket of Queens that looked and felt more like the suburbs, with well-tended garden apartments and 1950s red brick houses. With 5 children, my house-proud mother, Matilda, kept our home pristine, inside and out. She put plastic slipcovers over the living room couch and chairs to make certain they stayed clean. Queens today is celebrated for its incredible diversity, but in 1972, when this fight was unfolding, there weren't nearly as many people crossing the 59th Street Bridge from Manhattan to eat authentic Indian or Greek or Peruvian food. The country was churning with black power and white flight, and despite its liberal veneer, New York was a city full of ethnic tensions. It's telling that All in the Family, set in Queens, was the country's number one television show for 5 years in a row. Archie Bunker got away with calling people dagos and wops, ugly labels that were unheard of on network TV at that time. But in real life, people stereotyped one another and voiced their prejudices routinely. I'd absorbed my immigrant grandmother Immaculata's story about moving to Holliswood from Jamaica, Queens in 1949. It was just 3 miles, a short drive by car, but a map couldn't account for the social and economic distance she and my grandfather Andrea had traveled with my father, then 17, and his older brother and sister. Instead of Italians, their new neighbors were white Anglo-Saxon Protestants. My grandmother cried each time she recalled how a well-dressed woman had stopped her on the sidewalk as the family was settling in. "Don't bring your garbage cans to the curb until trash day," she said, "and make sure you put the lids on tightly." What my grandmother believed the woman was really saying was, "You Italians are dirty and ignorant." And my grandmother was so intent on proving her new neighbor wrong that she kept her house and yard spotless. 25 years later, long after the neighbor had died, my grandmother was still trying to show her. As I cut her grass, she followed behind me with scissors in hand to make sure her front walk was neatly trimmed. Queens had Italian neighborhoods, Jewish neighborhoods, Puerto Rican neighborhoods, and there was tension. 2 blocks from one neighborhood could suddenly seem like the other side of the world. There were kids who were attacked because they rode their bikes into the wrong area or dated someone from an unapproved background. Different neighborhoods had different ethnicities and young toughs who wanted to protect their turf. But it was the protesters from Forest Hills who brought the city's roiling unrest to our doorstep. Looking back 40 years later, I realized that in addition to feeling physically threatened, what I found so frightening about the protesters was how irrational they seemed. They didn't come to our block to have a civil conversation or to compromise. They didn't come to discuss. They were angry and they wanted to vent. They came to scream. I now know too well the state of irrationality that can develop on both sides of the political spectrum. But at 14, I didn't yet understand the bitterness and fear that brought people to these extremes. I was only seeing for the first time the real effect that government, however well-intentioned, can have on people's lives. By that time, my role in our family was set. I am an acute example of the theory that birth order shapes your personality. As the older boy in my family, I had an instinct to protect and defend my sisters and 2-year-old brother Christopher. Just as I'd helped my mother with chores around the house, it was my responsibility to help the two younger girls, Madeline 8 and Maria 10. Margaret was 17, 3 years older than I was, but I was the man of the house when my father was out. Facing down an eager date or a school bully was different from confronting dozens of adults. I had no idea what the demonstrators might do, and I hated that my mother and sisters were being exposed to their rage.